I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a lifelong hip-hop head tells why he's not buying it anymore, at least some of it. That's next. But first, this weekend, some 500 protesters held a rally in front of the Washington, D.C. home of Black Entertainment Television chairperson Deborah Lee. The protesters said they were fed up with, quote, derogatory images of Black men and women, unquote, that they felt are being perpetuated by the network. Those protesters didn't mention this, but some might have. Read a Book is a provocative animated public service ad currently running on BET. It calls on folks not just to read, but to buy land, take care of their children, and attend to their personal hygiene. And it has been burning up the internet. It has received more than 1 million hits and generated more than 4,000 comments on YouTube. Now, some people are applauding it, saying it's original and effective. But other people are very critical, saying the profanity and risque imagery, even though rendered as a cartoon, send the wrong message about doing the right thing. Bomani Dimite Arma, who calls himself a poet, not a rapper, is the brains behind the words of this project. So we thought it was high time to get his take on the controversy. Joining us in our Washington studio now is Bomani Dimite Arma. Dimite, welcome.
How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the ad. How did this project start?
It started off a couple of years ago. I teach creative writing and audio and video production workshops with young people all over the city here in Washington, D.C. One of the things I do because of that is just listen to the radio all the time, even stuff I don't like, just so I can be familiar with what the students are listening to. And when I was listening at this time, Lil Jon was the hottest thing out. And I was like, man, whatever he does with crunk music, you can change that and make that about absolutely anything. And so a friend of mine would let me know, if you want to do a crunk song, there's three rules. One, you have to be repetitive. B, you have to be aggressive. And lastly, you have to curse as often as possible. He's like, as long as you have those elements in it, anything can become crunk.
I see. Instructional manual for crunk.
Exactly.
Who knew?
Exactly. So I recorded it with some friends and some of my students, mixed it, mastered it, and gave it away for free on the internet for about 2 months on MySpace. And since then, I've just been accepting phone calls. I've never really solicited it anywhere.
How did it become applied to the cartoon? Or how did the animation piece come on?
It made it to the desk of Reggie Hudlin. They contacted
who's an executive
me.
With Black Entertainment Television.
Yes.
Has a very important leadership position. I think he's in charge of creative content.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And
he's a filmmaker in his own right.
A whole bunch of movies that are really important, especially back in the early 90s. We all knew it was going to cause some buzz. It was going to cause a little controversy, but the level of it is ridiculous.
I was going to ask you, what reaction were you expecting?
I was expecting some laughs, some yeah, that's what's ups. But I wasn't expecting, press releases written about me, condemning me and my music. And there's no shades of gray on this. Everyone loves it or hates it. Now, I honestly think the love outweighs the hate big time, but the hate is really vocal. The people who feel like this is the wrong message in the wrong time.
And the hate is what? Tell me what you think some of the hate messages
are.
Because I don't realize it is hate. Maybe I'm not reading everything you're seeing, but I'm reading it as disappointment or, oh, no, yet again, we don't need this.
Well, I don't know if you saw the Rainbow Push official press release calling me a so-called educator, which I thought was funny because even if you don't like what I'm educating, the fact that I'm an educator seems to be undeniable, saying that whoever made it must be illiterate and uneducated. And this is very disappointing. It's the wrong message to send our youth. And I would have sworn I picked some topics that were kind of universally accepted. I've noticed there seems to be a couple of things happening. There's a generational gap thing happening. When I've been on the radio and people have called in to talk about it, 40 and younger feel a specific way and 40 and over don't seem to get it.
Okay, well, hold on there. I'm going to play something for you because we've covered this issue on our show in our barbershop segment. Two distinct points of view on this.
All right.
Wasn't generational, pretty much the same generation. I'm going to play that for you right now.
Cool.
Using profanity to reach kids does not seem to me like the best way to make the message get across. It's bigger than just this one thing. It's a part of this whole sort of culture that we are at the same time satirizing and replicating. And you can't do both. And you have to figure out, is this a culture you're going to change? Can you change it when you're just putting out this message that a lot of people won't get the message?
Keith, here's what I have to say to that. I think that we and many other, middle class and kind of middle class blacks are really some of the most conservative people in America. Sometimes we have to loosen up and be able to laugh at ourselves.
In all honesty, the message behind the song was secondary to the idea of parodying this style of music. And for a lot of people, beyond the educational elements of the song. It was the idea of, wow, this is ridiculous. Like people tell me all the time, you know, I'm thrown off by how ridiculous the song is. I was like, yes, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I was like, it shows kind of where we've gone as a culture and as an art.
You mentioned that you've been getting a lot of media reaction, not all of it positive. In fact, here's one with CNN anchor Tony Harris.
So you did this purposely to get under people's skin, to start this. You are a provocateur. That's what you set out to do.
I didn't.
And Tyree, that's what you set out to do, because as a director, you control the imaging here. You set out to be purposely provocative so that we would be sitting on. See, we have given you exactly what you want.
Oh, man. Hot. It was hot.
That was funny. That's my favorite moment of that interview. Because you saw it click in his head, and he got really mad. I started calling him Tyrone O'Reilly. Like, that was a really bad interview from his angle.
But what do you think that you were stirring up there?
What I pointed out to him is that he brought parents together to talk about this video. What's going on with television and radio? Why are our kids exposed to this? And they had an issue with my video, but I've yet to see the interviews or the press releases for songs like, say, for instance, Young Jeezy has a song called White Girl. Line after line after line, him and his buddies talking about how much cocaine they pump into our neighborhoods. There's a whole genre, subgenre of hardcore hip hop that's basically cocaine rap, and they don't get called out for it. I could have written an essay. I could have said this in a song. Some other people said it in a song, but I was trying to get people talking, and they did. But the fact that they think
the flip side of it is that you've had pieces that don't have profanity in it, and that you haven't been able to get played.
I have a song called, the very first video that I did on my own, called The Hustle. And it's about me trying to make the money that it takes to support my family legitimately. And I never, like, Jesse Jackson did not send me a congratulations letter about that. You know what I'm saying? Tony Harris didn't do a special about that, trying to talk about, well, this is exactly the kind of messages we should be sending to young people. And so positive has completely become the new hardcore. They used to not play NWA because it was too much. Unfortunately, me being a married man with children, you know what I'm saying? And a teacher is now the new hardcore, which is sad. It should be the norm.
How do you want people to respond to the work? Do you want them to read a book, mm-hmm, and take heed of the message? Or do you want it to say, isn't it funny that we now communicate with each other in this way?
Both. And both things have been happening. I get emails from students all the time saying, thank you for validating that being educated is cool. And I've had parents tell me literally that it has worked as, you know what I'm saying, their kids picked up a book afterward. But then I've had people say, thank you for pointing out the ridiculousness of the culture. And more than anything, I wanted people to talk about it. As an artist, I don't feel it's my job to make people feel good or bad, just to make people feel.
I'm not sure I buy that, because you could make poetry about anything. You describe yourself as a poet with a hip-hop style. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not sure I buy that you just want people to feel something. I mean, if you just want to make people feel, you can hit them. You can assault their senses.
Well, I do, but at the same time, like, I could have played it safe. Like, my initial reaction was to completely clean it up. And I get people begging me, like, literally offering to promote the song if I made a real clean version of it, instead of, like, with bleeped out, but something that, you know, fifth and sixth graders, they could play in their classrooms. And I resisted it because this was the art. The ridiculousness of it was the art. And I also think that also parents, you know, wanting to use this as a tool for their young people, need to be real with themselves about what their children are exposed to. One of my jobs for the National Organization of Concerned Black Men is talking about what's happening in music. And I don't have to teach them the raunchy songs. When I come in and I start the first two words of it, 11-year-olds will run with it right from the top.
They've
heard it. Exactly. So
who are we kidding?
So who are we kidding? Right. Now, do I think it's okay for young people to curse? No, I don't. But like I said, people have written editorials about it, and it hasn't caused a conversation that actually doing a piece bringing that up.
Do you think that you are kind of in the spirit of Bill Cosby, who you know, shared some rather blunt observations of the black community a couple of years ago? It's caused quite a stir, and he's continued it. He hasn't backed away from it at all.
He hasn't apologized at all. It's interesting because I wrote
the message for those who aren't familiar is the argument that, and it's also been very controversial. Mm-hmm. His argument is that people need to get it together, saying some similar things. They need to take responsibility. They need to be more focused on education. Mm. And the way he put it that pushed a lot of people's buttons is the lower economic people need to hold up their end. Mm. And some people say he's opening up a class war and so forth. I just wonder if you see yourself in that kind of spirit.
I think what he did, and I'm not going to apologize for him because he's a grown man and he hasn't apologized. His body of work has been very socially responsible. But the very first time I can remember him making a public speech, you know, talking about social issues, he spoke like a comedian, and comedians speak in exaggeration. Now, do I believe he thinks all inner city poor black kids are the way he said it? No, but being a comedian, he spoke like all these kids, you know what I'm saying? And Chris Rock can do it because he does it all the time. Now, that being said, hip hop has always had as one of its mottos, keeping it real. And we've gotten to a point where we do need to be very, very real. As far as using profanity and stuff like that, we're in a profane situation. You know, the educational level of some of our young people is profane. So we need to, I don't have a problem using profanity to describe it.
What is your favorite book? What are you reading
What
right
is
now?
My favorite book? My favorite book is probably 2000 Seasons by Yikwe Arma. I'm reading A Long Time Gone by Bea about the child soldier in West Africa. But that's my favorite book. And other than that, probably Animal Sounds for Babies, because my twin 1.5-year-old sons love that book. So I read it like every night. So that's probably my favorite book right now.
Okay. Bomani Dimite Arma is a poet and composer of the PSA Reader Book. He joined us in our DC studio. Thanks for talking with us.
You're more than welcome.